This morning we'll be in chapter 4 of Romans. I'll first read it and then we'll begin our discussion. Excuse me. Verse 1 says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for unrighteousness. For righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Come this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who are also of this, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." Those are tongue twisters there. "Because the promise, or for the promise that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believes in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now, we were talking prior to this about some things kind of like some of this stuff, okay? Just a coincidence maybe, huh?
Yeah.
If you went back and read chapter 2 and 3, and actually from the beginning of the book, Paul is trying to tell us something. It's taken a long time to put it out. He's making it very, very clear when you take your time and look at it that it's not about the physical, natural human being the Jew. That the Jew is one spiritual. The last part of chapter 2, it says in verse 28 and 29, very plainly, he said, "Because he is not a Jew which is one outwardly," or in the flesh, okay? And literally, when it says outwardly, it means in the external.
What verse was that?
228. See, he says it's not one outwardly in the external, okay, where it's apparent that he is of the Jewish nation naturally, but not spiritual. "Neither is that circumcision which is outwardly or external in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly," that's in the word there, out inwardly actually means in the concealed in the Hebrew language, I mean the Greek language. It's in the concealed. So it's concealed in your heart, it's in your head, in your thinking process. And the circumcision is that of the heart, or literally the mind, in the spirit. So the thinking process is being changed from the natural carnal thinking into the spiritual, the mind of Christ. Would that make sense? And not in the letter. And we know that the letter brings death, the spirit gives life. Whose praise is not from men or humanity, but it's from God. See, it's not about how much people praise you, but how much is God praising you. See, people don't want to see that God is proud of us when we do what we're told to do. Regardless of what someone else thinks about us, that's not important, is it? See, he's well pleased when he said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He came against all the religious doctrines, all the laws that they were bringing, you know, that man had put on them. He was coming against all that. He said, "I'm well pleased in him." But the people weren't. Okay? But in these first three chapters, that's what he's setting this up. And now he's coming out and plainly saying, "Hey, look, it's not about the uncertain." Let's look at Abraham, the beginning, the first Jew. Okay? The first Jew. How did he become that way? Let's see what he says. "What shall we say then? Abraham, our father," and that's the ancestor or our forefather, "as pertaining to the flesh," or according to the flesh, "what has he found?" Okay? Let me read a version out of the Living Bible. Okay? "Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, then he would have something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis for all that pride." The Living Bible actually says some real good things in here that really hits it right. Actually, the whole chapter could be read out of there, but I'm trying to do it literally by what's in the Greek language here, and then we can bring in some of the other thoughts that line up correctly. Okay, verse 2 goes on and says, "Because if Abraham were justified, or literally innocent, by works, he has somewhat to glory or to boast of, but not pertaining to or with respect to God." He said if he was made holy by keeping the law, guess what? There wasn't no law yet, was there? There was no law yet. So how could he boast about keeping the law? The law couldn't make Abraham anything because there was no law at the time. Mm-hmm. So that should go out the window right there.
He could only do it in his religious tradition.
Well, there wasn't anything there. Just everybody was doing what's right in their own eyes.
But you think that he had a worship?
Abraham was, they were moon worshippers. Yeah. And worshiped the stars and the sky and everything. I mean, they knew something needed to be worshipped, but they didn't know what. You know, there has been nothing brought to them yet. So that's why they weren't accountable yet. Because in verse 3 it says, "Because what says the scripture? Abraham believed God." God spoke to Abraham and he believed him. When God speaks to you, do you believe him? Huh? Well, I mean, it's the same thing. People don't believe. Many churches, they say God doesn't talk anymore. Who sewed his lips closed? See, God is spirit. You can't stop spirit from anything, can you? If God wants to talk to you, he can talk to you. They say in the New Testament, God doesn't talk. Well, read through the Gospels and he talks. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He didn't say, "They'll read my words."
Yeah, but they think that was Jesus.
I know. "And it was accounted to him into righteousness." Verse 4. "But to him that works, it is the reward or the pay." He said, is the reward or the pay not reckoned of grace, but of debt? He says, so if you work for it, then there's no grace involved in it, is there? If you go to work every week, that paycheck is not by grace. That paycheck you get at the end of the week is because you earned it, right?
If it was by grace, I wouldn't be getting one.
Well, what I'm saying, you had to do something to get that paycheck. God's saying, you don't have to. That's what Paul's saying here. You don't have to do anything to get it. God says, I'm going to do it because you're my child and I love you. Even in the messed up state you're in, I love you.
It's a gift.
That's what's called a gift. You're saved by grace through faith. Saved through grace through faith. And this is a gift of God. Least, not of works, least any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Okay. It's not about working for anything. It's not about earning it. And the humanistic teaching of the churches today is you've got to do something so God will accept you. See? You don't. Your children here sitting with you today, they don't have to do anything for you to love them. You love them because they're your children. They might have to be corrected from time to time, but you still love them. You never stop loving them. You never think, I think I'll torture them through eternity because they screwed up once. Come on.
Sometimes you feel like it.
Yeah. But you don't do it. And you really don't think it. Sometimes it just gets frustrating. Okay? But to him that works not, but believes on him, verse 5, that justifies or renders innocent, okay, the ungodly, his faith is counted into righteousness. So the guy don't do anything, he's righteous because he believed God. But the guy worked for it, he earned it. There's a contradiction here, isn't there? Just and the unjust. Verse 6. Even or exactly as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. That's in Psalm 32, if you want to look at it. Psalm 32, 2. I'm almost there. This way said in Psalm 32, 2. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity and whose spirit there is no guile. Okay? Let me read verse 1 and 2 both there. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. That's what David said way back then. See? Okay. Verse 7 goes right on, let's say, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And you know what that word covered really means?
Forgiven.
Forgiven. So blessed are the ones that are forgiven. When were they forgiven?
Before
the foundation of the world. I know Jesus said it on the cross, but it was back there. And when he said, may your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. See, it was already done in the spirit realm, and Jesus just fulfilled it in the natural on the earth when he said, it's finished. Father, forgive them, and then said, it's finished.
He fulfilled it.
Walked it out and said, forgive them, Father, I took care of it. You know, I paid their debt. Here's my credit card. Put it on my account.
Yeah,
it's covered.
That's all.
That's it. See, they're taken care of. But people don't want to see this. They would rather blame somebody or let somebody else be responsible. We have to see it ourselves. If I can't see that he took care of the debt for me, then I'm going to try to carry the burden. And that's what most people do. They try to carry something that we weren't designed to carry. Never. We were never designed to carry that stuff. Okay. And it also says that in Psalm 85, verse 2, just like it said in Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Let me do this here just a second, and I'll read it real quick.
85.2.
Come on, fingers. Just a second. 85. Verse 2 says, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people, thou hast covered all their sin. Notice he said all. Selah. Oh my goodness. They have such struggles with it, and it's so simple. But it's simple when God shows it to you. You know, before God showed it to me, it was difficult to me too. But until he showed it to me, now it's so simple. You know? But it's not because I'm smart, it's because he showed it to me. Okay, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We read that back in the Psalms. See, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? He doesn't change. If he didn't impute the sin back then, he's sure not imputing it today. Because that would be a change, wouldn't it? Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? That's a question. Right? Did it come on one of them or all of them? That blessing was upon all. There was no law. There was no circumcision. They didn't have much choice, did they?
Are they talking about Jewish? They're saying the Jewish people by
Yes. When they say circumcision, they're speaking of the Jewish people, okay? Or the uncircumcision, the heathen people, the ones that are not circumcised. That's all. So he said, did this blessing come on just the circumcised or the uncircumcised also? And of course he said, it's all. And upon the uncircumcised also. Because we say that faith was reckoned or imputed to Abraham. Why? For righteousness or into righteousness. The word there literally is the word eis, E-I-S, and it means to or into. It was reckoned to Abraham or imputed to Abraham, you know, as righteousness. How was it then reckoned or imputed when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? How was it? There was no law, there was no rite of circumcision at the time, was there? See, so not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Why did God do that? Why didn't he give the law first and then get him circumcised and then say, now you got faith? Well, then it wouldn't cover all. But when he said, look, I want to show you, I did this and circumcised you. I mean, I give you this blessing before you were circumcised to show you that I'm covering all. So the same... If Abraham believed what God said and it was counted for righteousness, if you believe what God says to you, what will it be to you? Huh? Righteousness. Same thing. God's not changing. God's the same forever, isn't he? So if he took Abraham and made him the first Jew, for us to be spiritual Jews anytime, all we have to do is believe what God says.
But that's too easy.
Oh, that's what they think. It's not easy to go against the flow, is it? Because the religious people say you got to do, and we know what do is, and it shouldn't be in the temple, right? So all we got to do is obey Father. Didn't he say, all I want from you is obedience?
That right thinking is just right thinking. Righteousness, right thinking is right thinking. It's the same thing as God's.
It's just matching up with God's mind.
But man wants to say, I will do this.
Yeah, just like Adam did.
Then I will be like God.
Mm-hmm. I'll sit on the throne.
It's not by works.
It's not by works. It's because you believe God.
Set up my own kingdom.
And look what it says here in verse 11. And he received not the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith. See, circumcision was a seal to show that you had righteousness and faith. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, it was a physical outward sign because the law was a physical outward thing, wasn't it? You had to physically do things under the law, correct? But now it's an inward thing. Circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh. See, it's an inward thing, so there's no seal there. Now it's a thinking process. But that circumcision of the mind is just as visible as it was then when you talk different from everybody else.
Reflection.
Yep. Yep. Okay. It says, the seal of righteousness of faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. And it literally, it's being uncircumcised, there's three words there, in ho acrobustin, and it literally means still being in the uncircumcised. Being among the uncircumcised. He received it not being circumcised or in the circumcision, but in the uncircumcision. That he, and cross out that word might there, because it might shouldn't be there, that he be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. See there? Not Jewish, naturally, not of the physical, not of the flesh, but they be the ones not circumcised, they're still going to be a Jew. In order that righteousness, cross out that word might, be imputed to them also. So righteousness can be imputed to us when we believe God. He didn't say go down the altar and cry and slobber and snot all over a board anywhere. It didn't say scream and cry and wallow in the floor. It said when you believe God, it's imputed to you as righteousness, just as Abraham was.
Whenever I had a thought on that, when it says he gave him the sign circumcision, and mm-hmm. Christ says gives you the mark of circumcision. Mm-hmm. When God put the mark on Adam's mind, mm-hmm. Wasn't that circumcision?
No, it was uncircumcision. Adam's mind was not right yet. He had the mark of the beast.
Okay.
Okay, it's all right. It's okay. Remember, Adam was the one that put the mark on everybody else. He had the mark of the beast. The first man had to have it, or everybody else couldn't have it. The only one that could mark everybody had to be the first man. That'll stir something up somewhere. Okay, where'd I leave off there? 12, did it? Okay. We hadn't done 12 yet, have we?
We're in 12.
Okay. And the father of circumcision to them are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith, not that faith, but the faith of our father, Abraham, being yet uncircumcised. So even though we believe, not being in the circumcision, even though we're yet in the uncircumcised in the physical realm, which you never have to go that route anymore, you know, that was just a sign. Now we have the reality of the circumcision of the heart, don't we? So you don't need the shadows and types anymore for that. Verse 13. Because the promise that he should be the heir of the world, Abraham should be the heir of the cosmos, that orderly arrangement. He's going to be an heir of the orderly arrangement of the world. He's going to inherit the whole world. Okay, all the mind thinking, okay? And that stuff is going to be just as it's supposed to be, not like the worldly thinking, but God's thinking. Not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through what God gave him freely, without any works whatsoever, that's how he got it. And that's how everybody else got it. Abraham was going to be heir of the world through the righteousness of faith, wasn't he? So if he received everything through belief in what God said to him, that's the only way we're ever going to see anything, is through what God tells us. If we see it, we're in good shape. Because if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made what?
Void.
It says made void, or is neutralized, is what the language really says. It neutralizes the law. I mean, faith is neutralized. And the promise made none effect or rendered entirely useless. So he's saying if it's works, then what do we need faith for? If all I got to do is go ahead and do a bunch of good things, G-O-O-D, not God things, G-O-D, but good things, then what's the point of faith or anything else? All I got to do is just do a few good deeds, and that means I'm on the list, right? That's insane. God's got a plan, and if it was so simple that all I had to do was a few good things and obey somebody, do something good, then why in the world would Jesus have to go through that pain and suffering of that cross? I understand, but they're saying they can earn their way. It doesn't make any sense at all. If they would just stop and think, You can't. That would make God stupid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If he sent his son to suffer through all this agony and pain, and then they could have done it just by obeying a few little words.
Oops, I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. Because the law works wrath, okay, or fully accomplishes the passion or the desire, okay? Because where there is no law, there is no violation. If there's no law, how could it be violated? How could you be guilty of anything if there's no law? The same example I've used for years, if a street out here's got a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit and you come through a 70-mile-an-hour and a cop catches you, you're going to get a speed limit ticket. You know, you violated the speed limit. If there's no speed limit, how fast can you drive? Whatever you want, but you'll still reap what you sow. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. If you drive too fast, you're going to have a wreck. You're going to hit somebody. You're going to kill somebody, maybe yourself or somebody else. So, you know, you got to use a little judgment here. God gave us a mind, and I encourage people to use them. Probably one of the most underused gifts God ever gave us was the ability to think, and very few people use them. Okay, verse 16. Therefore is the faith... It is of faith that is... Let me read that again. I'm tongue twister or something. Therefore, it is of faith that is that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So let's do it again now, what it should say. Therefore, or through this thing called the law and faith, therefore through the faith, that is, that it might be by grace to the promise, to the end, the promise might, and you can get rid of that might, you know what I mean? That it exists to all seed. So he's saying this gift of faith, through the gift of faith, it is for everybody. To all. Did he say all? To all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law or under the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So he said, whether you got faith or not got faith, this gift is for everybody. Whether you're circumcised, uncircumcised, makes no difference, does it? This gift is to everybody. And there's a scripture in the New Testament, and I can't remember where it's at right now. It says, God gives a measure of faith to all men. Beg your pardon? Yeah. God gives a measure of faith to all men. If you find that, let me know in a minute, okay? A measure of faith. As it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations before whom he believed, and God, the one that quickeneth or revitalized or makes alive or gives life.
That's Romans 12:3.
12:3? Okay, Romans 12:3 says, God gives a measure of faith to all men. I couldn't click on it.
According as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith.
Yeah, he's dealt to every man a measure of faith. So it says, the one that quickens the dead or revitalizes them or makes them alive or gives life to the dead. And didn't it say we were all born dead in our sins and trespasses? So we all need life, and if we're dead, then we need life, don't we? And calls those things which be not, being not as though they were, or co-things that be not as though they be. Although Abraham didn't understand everything yet, God still told him things would be, and he believed it. See? Just to believe what God said. That's simple. Didn't say easy, I said simple. Difference. There's a big difference. Who against hope believed in hope that he, and crossed out that word might, that he become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So he said, so shall thy seed be, as the sand of the sea, the dust of the earth, the stars of the sky, right? All those things. In fact, it's in Genesis 13:16 where he says, your seed will be as the dust of the earth. And Genesis 22, he said, 17, he said, they'll be like the sand of the seashore. And in Genesis 15:5, he said, your seed will be like the stars of the sky. Okay? And it says, and this, we're talking about Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, or literally impotent, didn't have the ability to reproduce, when he was about 100, and literally he was 99, that's about 100, isn't it? That's in Genesis 17, nearly 100, about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness or the impotency of Sarah's womb. At 100 years old, who would believe that it would happen? You know, in our minds, we couldn't comprehend that, could we? The chains of life's already came upon all of us. Yeah, they would. Yeah, they would. But you know, Sarah laughed when she was told she was going to bear a child.
I don't blame her.
I think most women would have cried at 99. But anyway, they did. He says, he staggered not, or he did not hesitate or dispute the promises of God, okay, through unbelief, but was strong, what? In faith. And it should be in the faith, okay? Now there's a kick here in this, because it says not in faith but in the faith, and there is only one kind of faith. What is it? Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by
his
faith. So See, that's why the word "the" is in there. It's in the faith of God. Okay.
No, it's not. When the disciples were talking to Jesus, it said,
"Increase our faith." Yeah.
Give us your faith.
Yep.
Is that what the same?
Same thing. They had it. They didn't know it. They weren't aware of it. Giving glory to God. They had God, but they had the seed of God in their life, but it hadn't been made known to them, hadn't been cultivated and come to fruition yet, the abilities that they had. That's all.
Yeah, I think they said in the King James, increase our faith.
Yeah, increase our faith, yeah. But it says that last part of 20, it says, but was strong in the faith of God, giving glory to God. And verse 21, and being fully persuaded that he... that what he had promised, he was able or capable also to do.
There's the faith.
Yeah, he was fully convinced that whatever God said to him, that's what he's going to do. See, God said something to me a long time ago, and I've had people mock me about it. It doesn't make any difference. God told me I'd die an old man of natural causes. So when a man put a gun to my forehead and threatened to shoot me years ago, I told him he was a liar. And the man, people standing around said, you're crazy. That man said he was going to shoot you. He's got a gun touching your forehead. And I said, yeah, but that bullet through the brain is not natural, so that makes him a liar because God told me I would die an old man of natural causes. And that man died shortly thereafter of a heart attack. So, end of story. He didn't kill anybody. He put his gun away. Anyway, it goes back to believing what God said. And believe that he was able to perform anything, even though our natural eye can't see it, because the natural man receives what from God?
Nothing.
Nothing. See? Can't see it, that has nothing to do with it. God said. How did he deal with the devil?
As it is written.
Same thing. The written was what God said. See? As it is written. It is written. Same thing as saying God said. And therefore it was imputed to him into righteousness. Okay? Now this word imputed is the word logizomai, where we get our word logic. Can you see something here? Logic? Common sense? Listen? Think? See? If you can think logically, you can figure this out. That's what this word means. You can logically think something out and see that it was given to him because he believed what he said he was going to do. Then guess what? If Abraham can believe that if God said something to me, I can too.
So the way God thinks, right thinking, and yeah. Righteousness is mm-hmm. logical.
It's logical. Absolutely, it's logical. If I had a nickel for everyone that said to me, what you're saying makes sense compared to what the church world says, I could fill this room with nickels. I said, that makes sense. I said, God makes sense, and people's in after the dollars. Mm-hmm. Churches are after the dollars, big dollars.
All kinds of manipulation.
Yeah. But God makes sense. Okay, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone. See there? Coming right back to who? Us. That it was imputed alone, that it was imputed to him. But for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed. Logically, remember that word, logically? If we, or the ones that believe on the one that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe what Jesus said, it's going to be counted the same way as what Abraham was when God spoke to him. Okay? Now today, people don't believe what Jesus said because they believe what the preacher says or they believe what their doctrines say. But they do not believe what God said through His Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what's the difference between them? Nothing. They got the same thinking process. Okay. Verse 25. Who was delivered because of our offenses? The word there for offenses is paratoma. Paul used that word a lot. He didn't use the other word harmatia for sin, he used the word paratoma, which means an intentional or unintentional. Whether you intentionally make a mistake or unintentionally, it doesn't make any difference. He was delivered for all of them and was raised again for our what? Yeah, the word should be acquittal, not justification. See, and everybody looks at judgment. When you go before the judge, oh, you're going to get punished. But that judge has the same power to do this, not guilty. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. And I think that judge right there said, not guilty. Don't you? And that's why he comes up right here and he says, he was raised again for our acquittal. He died for our sins, but he was raised for our acquittal. And you know what? It's a done deal. It's not that hard to see once God shows it to us, is it? Any questions, comments, rocks to throw?